God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. As we read 1 Corinthians 13, it's a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking again today about growth in God. Growth in God as we learn to accept the changes of our lives. Do you know people who live entirely in the past, talk constantly about the past, reminisce, and connect everything that happens today with something that happened yesterday, or something that so-and-so said, or something that we always used to do? Moving steadily and faithfully from one station in life to another, from one place to another, as the shepherd closes one gate behind us and we move into another one, is, I think, the way to peace and maturity. We need not die a thousand deaths when things change. Change and decay in all around I see, the hymn writer wrote, O thou who changest not, abide with me. And I admit that the changes that I see taking place around the old cottage in Franconia where we used to spend our summers, they're not to my taste. And the older I get, the more I deplore that kind of change, the roar of bulldozers and chainsaws in the beloved meadow and the woods. But it's not mere chronological age that matters. It's rather spiritual progress. Am I prepared to walk with the shepherd to another station on the journey? Do I remember that God is in every one of them? That at every turn, life links us to God. One of the very significant segments of my life, to me, was my missionary work. I was a missionary in Ecuador from 1952 to 1963. When I went down there, I assumed that this was going to be my life work. Missionary work was a lifetime commitment for me, not short term. But God had some changes in mind. The time came when I felt very clearly that God was saying, your time is up here. Now I want you to follow me back to the States. Where should I go? What should I do? Well, the decision was made to build a house in Franconia. I've told you the story of this wonderful vacation place in Franconia, New Hampshire. And I had bought a little lot a mile or so away from the family place, thinking only to use it as an investment, never imagining that I would live there. But when I decided that the Lord wanted me to go back to the States, partly because of Valerie's education, I thought that's the place where I'd like to live. So I built a house. And they had no sooner broken the ground for the foundation than a very shiny green, dark green Lincoln Continental came oozing into the driveway, and out of it jumped a very immaculately dressed man wearing a very shining hard hat. And this man introduced himself as Elmer Tasker. He was a well driller, and he said, I see you're building a house. And I said, yes. And he says, well, I can drill you a well for you. He said, I'm the best well driller in the whole North Country. Well, I needed a well, and he drilled it, and he did a good job. And after that, whenever he would be in the neighborhood, he would drop by. And he was comedy personified. This man could have kept you entertained by the hour. I've often thought it would be a great show, the Elmer Tasker Show, just to get him to talk. He had his own way of running his business. The motto that he had painted on the side of each of his rigs was, we need your business. Our business is going in the hole. And he had his own code of ethics. And because Elmer Tasker was such a colorful conversationalist, I've really remembered a lot of the things he said word for word. And I remember one day he said to me, I've worked for people, and I'm not lying to you. You can call my wife right up and she'll go over the checkbook, and I'll bet you over the last 5 years it's been 15 people I've gone and drilled a well for and give them 2% off if they pay in 10 days. Well, like the money be coming from the bank or something, and it might go 30 days and the people were honest, they wouldn't take their 2%, but I'd send it back. Now, how many guys will send back money once they get it? Like it'd be a $2,000 job and that'd be, what, $40? Yeah, you can ask my wife. She'll show you the checkbook, because I just don't do things that way. I mean, like, life's too short. Now, let's say you're in business, he said. You're doing something, and let's say I go and say, you don't want her to do the job, she don't know what she's doing. Well, all right, they may go and hire you anyway, and you may do the best job in the world. Now, isn't that going to make me look stupid? Sometimes I go to look at a job, and a guy will say to me he can get somebody else to drill his well for $6 a foot when I'm asking $7. I'll say to him, I didn't come up here to give you an education about my competition. I never give them a thought. All I know is I know what I'm doing, and I've got something to show for it, and if you need this well drilled, I can drill it. As far as I'm concerned, half my competition stinks. But if you want to ask me to come here to see you about a well, I'm not coming here to run down my competition. Because the idea of it is you might hire one of my competitors, and he might do a wonderful job, and then you can say, well, I don't know what on earth he was shooting his mouth off about. I can't see that kind of business, can you? Life's too short. You can tell Elmer Tasker was a philosopher. But he went on, he said, the way I look at life is that no matter who it is, so long as they're somewheres near square, everybody's got to get a living. I mean, I'm not planning to drill all the wells, but so what if I don't? I do what I can, and I do it good. The other guy's got to eat. He's got a wife and kids, too, so what's the difference? I never charge anything for setting up the rig, either. A lot of guys, they want $300 for setting up, and they want their money the day they're done drilling. But then if you got to put the pump in and there's something wrong, well, what are you going to do? You've had it. And you got to stop payment on a check. You got to work fast. But I don't do things that way. I'm not interested in it. But you got to go out there and do something, and life is short. If you got to be crooked on everything you do and you can't look people in the face, you know full well they think you're a crook, and it's a pretty short world to be doing that all the time, I'd say. I love that expression. It's a pretty short world to be a crook in. It is a short world, and it doesn't take more brains than most of us have to figure out that honesty is a good thing if it helps business and if it keeps us from looking too stupid. It is the best policy, as the old maxim says. But honesty isn't usually much more than a policy, is it? It's one of those things, along with eating and dieting and taxation and religion and loving your neighbor, that we all think can be carried too far. Too far, that is, if the matter concerns ourselves. I think about my father's strict regard for the truth. In my writing, the hardest thing in the world is to tell the truth, to tell it straight. Now, it's not hard for me to sit down and bat something off on my word processor. But when I come back the next day and I reread what I've written before, some of it will ring very hollow. And I think to myself, did I write that? How could I possibly have written anything that bad? And then when I examine it and try to figure out what's wrong with it, I discover that it's not true. It just is not the plain, straight truth. Now, when I talk on the radio, I think that most of my friends would agree that I don't have a special voice. I don't have a lot of contrived phrases, and I certainly try to avoid baloney. You'd see through that pretty fast, I think. But it is a daily discipline to be honest. Does somebody say, well, don't you think you can carry that too far? Well, I suppose some people would agree that you could. My husband, Addison Leach, was a counselor in a camp for a number of summers, and they used to grade the kids on honesty. And he said that the three choices were exceptional, moderate, or fairly. exceptionally honest, moderately honest, or fairly honest? Where would you classify yourself? Maybe you're like Elmer Tasker, just somewheres near square. I read about a man who found $183,000 in a bag, and he threw it in the back of his car, and he forgot about it. And when he finally heard about the loss of that money, he realized that maybe that's what he had in the trunk of his car. And so later on, when newsmen asked him why he had not opened the bags, he said, "I didn't know it was money. I thought it might be mail. I forgot about them until I began reading stories in the paper, and then I realized what I had. I had always daydreamed about finding a lot of money, but it became a reality, and things changed. I had to call." Asked why he didn't break the seals on the bags, he said, "You don't break seals on people's parcels. That would muddle things considerably. I'm an honest man within reasonable limits." The scripture says, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Jesus said, if you are dishonest in little things, you'll be dishonest in big things. The Bible says that we are to provide things honest in the sight of all men, not only in the sight of the Lord. "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts." Can you tell it straight? Can you be strictly honest? None of us can. It takes the grace of God. It takes practice. It takes correction. It takes the teaching of the Holy Spirit to help us. Are you somewheres near square, moderately, exceptionally, or only fairly honest? May God make us thoroughly truthful in the inward parts.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.